This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everybody, welcome back to episode 4 of Equal Agenda. I'm Hazel.
I'm Martine.
And I'm Jamina.
And today we will talk about the influencers who have been shaking and shaping the internet recently. In this episode we're going to talk about Euphoria star Sydney Sweeney, who has recently stirred up the internet with her American Eagle campaign.
Former OnlyFans star Bonnie Blue, who has made headlines for her controversial sexual attitudes and her podcast with influencer Andrew Tate, and his hot takes around feminism and gender roles.
And US rugby player Ilona Maher, who spreads body positivity throughout her social medias, especially in her role in Dancing with the Stars.
Sydney Sweeney's blue jeans ad.
Like, it's really split people up, I think.
Some people are saying that this ad promotes eugenics.
So eugenics is basically the idea of
white people carry the strongest traits. Appearance and biologically, hence why any other ethnicity should be ruled out of society. That's eugenics.
That's exactly what it is, yeah. And they try to frame it as like, oh, we're just trying to find the most scientifically superior people. It's very outdated and already scientifically proven wrong.
Yeah. Historically, eugenics movements in the early 20th century were closely linked to white supremacy and were often used to justify racial segregation, forced sterilization, and even genocide. So that's where eugenics kind of stems from. And I think lots of people have looked at Sydney Sweeney's ad with American Eagle and gone, this is what's going on.
A lot of people think that the language used, basically the Sydney Sweeney has good genes, is very coded in eugenics. And you kind of see both sides, because we are living in a world where we're having a rise of conservatism again in this current climate.
This ad is her squeezing into, obviously, American Eagle genes. And she, do we have the quote of what she says? Genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. So if you guys haven't seen Sydney Sweeney, she is a white, blonde, slim, blue-eyed actress.
She's also known for having big boobs, which is...
I mean, that's how the ad starts. It's like the first clip you see is her standing up and it's like cleavage for show and it's zoomed in straight to that one body part.
And then it moves down to her crotch.
Yeah, then it moves to her crotch and she turns around and she's like, I'm not saying you need to buy these jeans, but like you should buy these jeans. And it's the most awkward ad I think I've ever seen.
Like,
and
why is it silent?
It's just an objectively really awkward ad. Like, the delivery, it's, why is the delivery so strange? Her jeans don't even fit very well.
She literally says that they're not comfortable. She's saying that these definitely aren't the most comfortable jeans you'll put on.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's from a marketing perspective, what's going on there? That makes people think there's more to this than jeans. I just want to talk about the hypersexualization a little bit more, because did you know that the campaign claims to raise domestic violence awareness?
That's what I just read.
That's the biggest fucking contradiction of the century.
100% of the purchase price of the jeans will be donated. 100% of it. Their whole campaign, the whole reason why this ad is a thing.
Well, it creates a disconnect that feels exploitative rather than supportive of the cause.
Mm.
It feels like they're utilising a flaw in society of over-sexualising women to make profits to stop over-sexualising women. Just doesn't make sense to me.
I actually think it's quite an interesting conversation, because Sydney Sweeney herself, she had been on record before saying that she was frustrated with how people would sexualise her body. But lately, her campaigns have actually been kind of playing into it. And so Sydney Sweeney went on SNL, right? And she was talking about, and basically they made a bunch of jokes about her boobs and everyone was really mad about it. And then we find out that Sydney Sweeney herself was insisting on all the boob jokes. And she said about this, you just learn the system. You can try to fight it, but they just fight back. And a lot of the people that she's been doing campaigns with, such as Dr. Squatch or the bathwater, they've said that Sydney herself is very involved in the crafting of the ads and how she is perceived in them. Mm. So then you kind of think, like, Sydney Sweeney doesn't owe it to us to present herself a certain way. However, as someone with a platform, we have to remember that intentionality is so much bigger than ourselves.
It's like, how much should Sydney Sweeney be taken accounted for? How much should American Eagle be taken accounted for? It's like Sydney Sweeney is just one part of the whole big problem.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one person isn't going to change everything, but at the same time, when you do have that leverage of a platform that Sydney Sweeney currently has, then it's like, how much responsibility are we willing to put on her, and should we be doing that? Like, it's possible that Sydney might have wanted to celebrate her beauty, because I tried to be unbiased, and I did read a pro-Sydney Sweeney article about this. And it was basically like, she's beautiful, apolitical, and wildly successful. Oh my gosh. So basically, they were chastising quote-unquote wokies and lefties for being jealous of Sydney Sweeney. Like, they were basically being like, you guys are only mad because you're jealous that she's so beautiful. So, like, the fact that political figures are commenting on this, when you have President Trump saying, Sydney Sweeney, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there, in a time where the U.S. is literally detaining immigrants and their president just doesn't like non-white people, you see the influence that these messages have, the power that you actually hold. The artistic direction was based on Brooke Shields' 1980 Calvin Klein commercial, which was absolutely flamed, but she was 15 years old at the time, and she has spoken about the fact that she didn't really think about how sexual it was at the time. It was all the people around her, but yet the media was basically kind of crucifying her, being like, oh, you knew what you were doing. And it's like, it's interesting because, you know, like, you put all that intentionality on a 15-year-old, and then Sydney Sweeney is a grown woman.
And then there's some people that say American Eagle are just riding the wave of controversy on purpose, because outrage has become a form of its own currency, and at the end of the day, it's about how much money American Eagle can make as a brand. So they're taking a no such thing as bad publicity mindset. So Andrew Tate,
businessman and entrepreneur.
He rose to fame after an appearance on the British version of a reality TV show, Big Brother, in 2016. He only lasted 6 days on the program before being removed for attacking a woman. There's currently 21 charges against his name, such as rape, human trafficking, and forming an organized crime group to sexually exploit women. Now he calls himself a businessman, entrepreneur, and influencer. His brand thrives on rage bait and extremism. So right off the bat, he's a psychologist's dream case.
So Andrew Tate recently did a podcast episode with former OnlyFans star Bonnie Blue. I say former because she had actually been banned from OnlyFans after an attempt to host an event called the Bonnie Blue Petting Zoo? And basically it was deemed too dangerous. It didn't happen, thankfully, and OnlyFans had banned her for her extreme content.
I know she tried to come to Aussie, go to the Gold Coast for their schoolies, and the whole of Australia fought against it and actually got her visa cancelled because she said that she wanted to sleep with barely legal people because, as she talks about in her podcast episode, that's what she likes.
Freshly 18-year-olds, I think she calls them. So she sat down with Andrew Tate and, yeah,
we watched it.
To be honest, I was driving when I was listening to it, and I honestly spent the first hour of it with tears in my eyes because I just felt so disgusted and misunderstood and dehumanized, honestly.
I could not agree more. The amount of times I had to pause and I would actually be freaking out loud, being like, what did he just say? Mm. What is she thinking? Mm. What is going on? It just made me... I was just infuriated that these are people out here making average people feel like this.
I feel for you guys for, like, the very, like, passionate responses that you had. But also when I was listening to it, I couldn't feel very much. I was absolutely bored of them because I couldn't, like, you know when you listen to a conversation, you're trying to get something out of it? I couldn't get anything out of it. It felt like just rage bait after rage bait. And even Andrew Tate himself was being nonsensical. I feel like it's hard to make an argument against a non-argument.
Within the first minute, he gave this what he seemed to believe was a well-rounded definition of feminism, and it's absolutely horrific and fundamentally wrong. So he spoke about women are tired of being provided for and getting cared for.
Yeah, the whole concept of being taken care of and him thinking that us wanting to be treated as human means that we don't want to be cared for as people. I think that's really interesting. It just kind of shows how much he dehumanizes all of us.
Yeah. And 100 years ago, perhaps you would call it being taken care of because, sure, men went out to work and they paid the bills. Like, I understand that. But that doesn't mean that came with love and respect and a voice that would be heard. We may have not had to go out and work, not that that was our choice, but we weren't acknowledged as a human being. So that's why woman decided, hey, I actually want to leave the house. I actually want to get a job. I want to be more than a birth giver and a homemaker. But he puts it in this light of we had this perfect life prior to the vote and jobs and a voice, freedom, autonomy. And I just think straight off the bat he gets it so wrong. And I think all of his other outrageous ideas stem from this idea that, well, the woman before us had a perfect life. We lived like little Labradors that just got fed twice a day and walked and happy as Larry. And then just kicked up a fluff.
I think it was really interesting when he started talking about the idea of like a wife. But I think it was so interesting when he was saying, like, wives are obedient, wives are quiet, and wives listen. This makes us sound like dogs. Like, as you said, like, Labradors that are being fed and walk twice a day and be like, yep, you're good to go. He thinks that's how wives should be. That's what women should be like.
Yeah, well, he speaks as if women exist only for pleasure of a man and reproduction. You know, there's this whole ideology that women are just smaller versions of men. Tate dehumanizes women entirely. To him, we are not even a small version of a man. We're just not even a human being. And he completely strips away our individuality, our intelligence, and our autonomy. He claims that most women are sex workers, whether it's for one customer, which is your boyfriend or your husband, or for thousands, and that's an actual sex worker. And then he also says women should be having children as soon as possible to give their life direction. Every day a woman goes without having kids is a waste of time.
I think that's crazy. Crazy. Somebody that studied reproductive histories. Why is he so angry at the world?
Yeah.
For the way that it's changed and developed. Grow up. Move with us. Yeah. Move with society.
It's just so reductive to assume that that's what everyone wants and that's how it should be, because we've seen how it affected the women of before and how it is still honestly affecting women today.
Yeah, well, his obsession, and he says repeatedly, women just want Birkin bags and Instagram likes. They're all the same. Like, he generalizes women's motives and wants. So, yes, Andrew Tate, maybe the woman in LA might be like that, but your sample population does not correctly represent the rest of the world. And then he goes on to talk about how everyone should be doing what Bonnie Blue does, and she is the end result of feminism, and everyone's basically just living Bonnie Blue's lifestyle, they're just more quiet about it. Sorry, what did you guys do last weekend? Did you set up a petting zoo? No. Absolutely the fuck not.
And it puts such a negative stereotype on women that do choose that lifestyle of being sex workers. And as you said, the sample population, he takes 1% and puts that across every single woman. Not every single woman is living in LA and wants a Birkin bag.
Even not everyone in LA is going to be like that.
No, exactly.
It's already, it's already a generalization in itself, right? Like, as women, I've always felt like we always end up being so responsible for upholding an image, because these stupid, stupid people will see one woman and be like, oh, however that woman is, that's surely how everyone else is. Mm. And it just puts such a pressure on us, and it's also just awful.
I honestly put it down to the only woman that he is giving the time of day is in his bed. That is his sample population, right?
I think everything he says just to his benefit, which actually that's something that he and Bonnie Blue currently have in common.
Yeah.
Like just saying and believing in whatever benefits you as a person.
Yeah.
Screw everyone else. And I think that's just like, it's just really dangerous to give people like that a platform.
I don't want to happily listen to this, but we could listen to this and know when to stop. Like, none of us actually listened to the whole thing. We stopped after an hour.
Yeah, well, we can register that this is incorrect on so many levels.
And we can pick apart the fact that it is, a lot of it is rage bait.
Yeah.
That, like, they're just saying because they want the attention.
Yeah.
But there are people out there, especially the younger crowds of 14 to 16-year-olds, that don't have an opinion of what society is. They don't know how life was back then, the way that we know from history. And they will be like, oh, this is life now.
14-year-olds don't know how disrespectful and how harmful it is to be walking around with these ideas. And 14-year-old boys don't know how hurt us women are by this gender inequality. They don't understand that yet.
It's awful. Like, even, like, as a 14-year-old girl, like, being surrounded by, like, boys with this ideology and to kind of be thrown into the fact that, oh, man, I'm, like, they're all going to grow up and I am potentially going to be surrounded by these people who think so little of me. And it's just, like, kids are so impressionable. And Andrew Tate's biggest audience are the young boys, because 14 is a strange age where you start to become aware of stuff, right? But you're so impressionable and so easily moldable.
You're a sponge.
Yeah.
You get thrown into water, and whatever that water's contaminated with, you're going to absorb it regardless.
Well, they're looking at a rich, successful guy that travels countries and has a yacht, and he's, you know, projecting out all these outrageous views that actually probably don't seem so outrageous to a 14-year-old, because all they can see is, this is what it takes to be successful.
Mm.
This is what it takes to be rich.
To get attention.
They're going to listen to successful individuals, but they don't have the brain to differ what is successful and pro-social and respectful. They might watch a few Andrew Tate videos, talk about it at school with their friends, and, you know, if they're hearing all this information about how women are going to sleep with you and then the next day call rape and then you're going to get thrown in jail, these little boys are going to grow up thinking that women are out to get them, and they are inevitably going to hate women. This content teaches young boys to grow up hating women, because as far as they're concerned, we just want money, Instagram likes, and Birkin bags. And isn't that so dehumanizing?
It's so scary.
It's terrifying.
That's devastating.
And his voice is so nasally. He is one annoying motherfucker.
Blow your nose,
okay,
buddy.
Well, if we're saying this, bro, he talks like a baby. He argues like a 5-year-old. He's like, there was literally a clip you said where he was like, I was trying to hold that back, but now that we mentioned it.
Anyways, sorry, don't mind that weak moment of us.
I think that's the biggest danger of it all, really. The fact that I personally would never have watched this podcast. I didn't even know who Bonnie Blue was for a while. And it's like, it's nice to live in that bliss, but then it's like as people with platforms, we almost want to find a way to responsibly help people, like help young people navigate through this age where you can just, like, I feel like it's so accessible to see very extreme views, and that's what ultimately gets pushed because it's what makes people money. And it's sad to see that people's exploit of money and awful views, just, it could create a society of awful people, and we want to find a way to prevent that. So by making this episode, we don't want to just, like, shit on Andrew Tate and Bonnie Blue as well. Like, we don't want to just shit on them, but want to raise the awareness for the young people who could be listening. And we hope that you guys don't get influenced by these dangerous views.
Yeah, and, well, if you have young kids, make sure you know what they're watching on their iPads or their phones. Parents go off to bed at 8 p.m. and us kids, we're left to our own devices. There's some god-awful 18, 19, 20-year-old boys out there with some crazy ideas. You might accidentally be raising a little 14-year-old Andrew Tate.
I think the best way is just to be mindful of what's around. Listen to your kids when they speak about something. Ask them questions. Be involved in their life.
And at home, we need to make sure that dads are showing their wives, you know, kids' mums, love and respect, and vice versa. There needs to be a healthy relationship. family environment at home, because if that's not happening, and then also these 14-year-old boys are watching Andrew Tate stuff online, they have no idea how to respect a woman. In our small little New Zealand, all of the wives and mums listening to the radio as they drive to work or, you know, just out and about, they aren't with their current husbands for Birkin bags and they don't want Instagram likes. I bet you it's just such an unrealistic idea that Tate is projecting.
We want to take this moment to shift from a negative space to something more positive. As we mentioned in the beginning, Alona Maher's social media is one of these positive platforms. She celebrates being a woman in society today. As a rugby player herself in a very male-dominated sport, she brings light on something that people don't talk about often and don't talk about enough.
I thought it was interesting to see someone just like kind of celebrating their body. And I was like, it was so sweet looking at the comments and how like everyone was like, oh, you're so beautiful. It's like, it's just so uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's using her platform to project body positivity and body positivity that isn't skinny and the littlest version of yourself. You know, she's strong. She's a rugby player and she looks incredible. And I think that's so cool, especially for young girls to look at that.
I actually loved when she went on Dancing with the Stars. Her partner, he was like tall and quite built, like the pretty similar build to what she is. And she lifted him up and like carried him on her shoulder and like as she danced around. And I love that because everyone was like, oh my God, this is the first time we've ever seen a female lift a male. And everyone watched that and she blew up and she took her platform and turned it for something positive.
She wants to normalize women being strong because we're often told by society we need to be the smallest versions of ourselves.
Mm.
So everyone who watched that season of Dancing with the Stars, it normalized strong, built women. And I think it's great because that's going against that stereotype.
When she accepted her sports award, she was talking about being a female in the rugby industry and how that made her feel. And there's this quote that she said, take up space, pitch it faster, run harder, put another plate on the bar and never tone it down. She's telling us you can. You can do everything. Put your mind in it. You've got it.
I think it's just telling us to not be afraid to stand out and don't make ourselves smaller to fit into these stereotypes. Like rugby is stereotypically a male sport and she's telling us women to get out there and do it and give it a go and, you know, take up space and be loud and be proud and get better.
I think it teaches a cool lesson about individuality, which I think it's really meaningful because even if you're not like the big bulky rugby type, I feel like I would feel inspired by her just being like she decided to go for her dream and build as a person. And it's like, I think it's cool to see that and be like, oh, like, even if I'm not very sporty, I can be my own version of that. And it's very uplifting to see someone just celebrating her womanhood for all it is.
Yeah. I love how Alona Maher has literally done the exact opposite of what Andrew Tate does. Andrew Tate's like, women should be quiet. Women can't do this. Women need to be tiny. Yeah. And Alona Maher's like, haha, fuck you. And it's really nice to see something so beautiful, like one person that's using a platform and it's already inspiring us to be like, I could do that 100%. Yeah. Like I don't want to be a rugby player, but I want to achieve this goal. So I want to work towards it because she worked towards it. And look, she made it. So I can make it too.
She showed us that there is that option to do that if we want to. And it's not off limits because stereotypically it once was.
We hope we haven't left your heart too heavy. Ultimately, we wanted to show that while there are influencers who are perpetuating dangerous stereotypes in the name of money and fame, there are still people using their platform for good, and we want to encourage everyone to do the same. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Bye!
Bye, guys!
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.